Good morning, Christopher. How you doing?
Good morning, James. Oh, we are going to have so much fun today.
So we're talking about a recent article from Rolling Stone covering the 100 best sitcoms of all time.
That's right.
Now,
and how did you feel about that list?
Let's back up a second and talk about us for a minute, because you know, we're important. We have about a dozen of these shows under our belt now, so it's about 3 months worth of being media critics. I feel like you know, that makes us professional. We're professional media critics, right? Right? I mean, what's Roger Ebert got on us? I mean, when's the last time he wrote anything? He's dead.
I know.
Yes, the list. The list, right, from Rolling Stone, the top 100 sitcoms. And they do say, let's be very specific about this, the best 100 sitcoms. So it's not comedies, it's not general TV, sitcoms, and quote, best. So they're not really defining what best is, which is probably a good thing.
No, they're being very specific.
I was going thinking that this was going to trigger me like mad, and overall I felt like, well, you know what, this list isn't so bad. I have strong feelings here and there, but generally speaking I'm like, wow, okay, that's not too bad.
Well, Rolling Stones, I like these guys and always have. Once upon a time I used to pick up their magazine pretty regular because I felt like, besides being educated, they had a nice mix between different generations at their in their organization.
You say so. I've never been that impressed with the Rolling Stone. It always seemed a little bit too cool.
Well, they have to be cool. They're the Rolling Stone magazine.
Like I said, generally, I think it's a good list. I have some problems here and there. I think there's a little bit of PC-ness going on, but in general, it's okay. I would, however, preface this when we look at individual shows by thinking about, would the show be successful today? I think that might be a good criteria, because I think that cuts out a lot of the problems you might have with the list. Should I just start talking about...
And that's a good caveat for this whole thing, because when you're looking at shows, would they be good today? Also, I think what's really important is, are still people watching them today? So you might have this old one that's outdated, but because it's the material is so good and people are still watching it, that has a lot to do with it also, I believe.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, whether it stands up or not. And, you know, some of my favorite shows don't always stand up the test of time. So we're not going to go through every show, because that would take, I don't know, 6 hours. You guys ready for 6 hours? I didn't think so. Neither am I. We're going to go through the list really quick, and I'm just going to pull out some ones that I thought were interesting. And then, you know, if you want to just jump to the top 10 or anything that is important to you, I think that's fine, too.
Sounds great, James.
But, you know, I don't want to sound like we're going to talk about all of them, but I am starting with number 100, which was Schitt's Creek. I think that was a great show. I was like, that's surprising. That I'm glad it was on the list, but I'm surprised that it made 100. That seems like it should be higher down. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, it might be the time test. It hasn't even suffered 1 year yet.
Oh, no, it's been out for years. It started in 2015.
No, but I mean being canceled and being off the air.
Oh, but still, I mean, it's a six-year-old show, so I think it's... They had a great cast, and it actually had tone. For me, that's a big thing. Looking through this list, I was thinking the shows that I vaguely remember but remember being important are the ones that had a tone to them. And this one had its own tone. 98 was Dairy Girls. Have you seen that?
You know what? I saw that on the list, and I looked at it and goes, oh, that's one of the shows I never bothered to watch.
It was a fine show. I think it's okay. 97 is where I start to get into trouble, though, because they have Night Court.
Night Court was kind of unique in the fact I thought it was the first show that really made a spoof out of all of those lame lawyer shows. You know?
I don't think there were a lot of lawyer shows. And what was this? This was in the 80s or 70s? This
what about
was
Perry Mason? I mean, and you had...
Yeah, that was decades
Mad
earlier,
Lock.
Though. No, here's the thing with Night Court. It's the show I think we all want to like, but it's really not that good. It's got great talent, but the writing was just terrible. And I think this is where we start grading on a curve. Because in the late 70s and through the 80s and most of the 90s, most TV got pretty bad. There was good TV in the 50s and 60s.
There was definitely a lack of 70s. I noticed that, and it really bugged me because I thought there were some halfway decent shows out of the 70s. One of which, of course, made the top here, which we'll talk about in a minute.
Yeah, well, I think we can skip most of the 70s and 80s because, like I said, most of the TV from that era was really bad. It's a very minor thing. Daria, number 92 on the list. I guess it's okay. Yeah, it was a pretty good show, I guess. Big Bang Theory comes in at 90. Ugh.
I thought that one would do better. I never liked that show personally, but it seems to have a, like you said, tone. It seems to ring a bell for a lot of people, especially now since we're living in this geek is cool society. It's been going on for almost 20 years now.
Yeah, I think that might be part of the point here is I tried to watch the show several times and I just couldn't even, I couldn't start. It just feels like the worst kind of network show. It's so formulaic and obvious.
Yeah, and the acting is so sitcom. I like to watch a sitcom that doesn't seem like you're watching a sitcom.
And you know,
but it was a lot. I felt like the jokes were just.
And I don't know if they're still doing it, but I know when I tried to watch it, they still had a laugh track on it, and I can't watch anything with a laugh track anymore.
Well, nobody does live anymore.
It doesn't matter. You know, Seinfeld wasn't live, and they didn't have a laugh track.
Oh, that's true.
And a laugh track, if you do it live, it makes a little bit more sense. But most laugh tracks just make it sound terrible. Next one up is at 88. I know it sounds like I'm not skipping many, but I guess I didn't. Party Down. Did you see that?
You mean actually the sitcom?
Yeah.
Believe it or not, I did watch that. I think it was the second or third episode because somebody was talking about it. This is quite a while ago. And I was like, and I never made it through a few minutes of it. Did you like it?
I did. I actually really liked that. That was pretty cute. And, you know, I thought it was 87, though, I think is worth talking about a little bit about Soap. Do you remember Soap?
Okay. So I was so glad that at least made that list because I thought Soap was genius. I thought Soap, and no one watches it, so I guess that's why it's kind of toward the bottom. And then all the fantastic talent that came out of there.
Yeah, there was a lot of good talent there, and that's kind of the surprising thing. I tried watching it several years ago again, and I couldn't get through it because it's supposed to be a spoof on a soap opera.
Yeah.
But it's not as much spoof as just soap opera. So I think it really kind of falls down, and it's just, I can't watch it. There's some great moments to it. It's just tough to get through. Modern Family comes in 84.
I don't remember. Did that have a laugh track?
I don't remember either. Modern Family comes in 84, seems fine. How I Met Your Mother, just couldn't watch it because of the laugh track. Now, Will and Grace at 81, I think that's a solid choice. I remember that show. I remember that show being funny, and then I looked at a couple of pictures from it, and I'm just laughing at the cast. The cast was great on that.
That show I actually watched, not often, but if I was home and I flicked on the TV and I was channel surfing and it popped up, I definitely sat and watched it. Once again, the acting was awesome. It was kind of dealing with a genre that was fairly new at that
time.
Yeah,
that is a good point. It was a pretty new content.
Yeah, and the dealing with the homosexual relationships, and it's okay to make fun of yourself a little bit, but not make fun of being gay. That was always the thing in the past.
Yeah, they had a nice balance of making fun of it, but from within.
Yes. We're all laughing with you, not at you.
Number 80 was Sanford and Son, which I don't remember very clearly, but again, it's about tone. I remember very clearly that show setting a tone.
You're looking at a Sanford and Son fan. I grew up watching that show. Red Fox. I used to walk around and pretend I was Red Fox. But as a kid, I just loved Red Fox so much. I'd walk around pretending I was with my shoulders back. Love Sanford and Son.
That explains a lot. WPRP in Cincinnati at 79. I honestly don't think this should be on the list. I mean, it had some nice moments, but it's just one of those. Let's see, it's a 78 to 82. That's the perfect time for bad.
Well, I think it should have been at the bottom, and I think that was Rolling Stones playing a little politics. They wanted to have some people look at 100. They look at the top and the bottom of the list right away, and so I think they threw something that would catch your eye at the bottom. That should have been number 100.
Okay, maybe, but it doesn't even need to be a list. Now, the one that really triggered me is the next one, 76, New Girl. That was on Fox from 2011 to 2018. Did you ever see that show?
Yeah, that was terrible.
Oh, so
I don't know why they even came out with that show. How many seasons did it last? And how did it make it on this
list?
I
don't know how that lasted so long. I mean, that was
You got to remember, a lot of these sitcoms, they're only there because some other show is really successful. So they'll put a show on to counter another show.
Oh, okay.
And it's just to fill space because they know no one's watching. They don't want to save their very best to compete with something that's more popular.
Why would it make the list then if it's just a filler show? I mean,
somebody knows somebody at Rolling Stones.
I mean, I don't know if I can think of a worse example of a token black character than this show. The character Winston had no direction whatsoever. He eventually becomes a cop, but for the first like 3 or 4 seasons, he's just meandering about for no reason. He's like a different character every time. He's got no consistency. Of course, that's true of most of the characters. The only one I liked was Schmidt. That's the only reason I couldn't even finish the series, but the only reason I kept watching was because of Schmidt.
What were we up to? What numbers?
We're down at 75, so we're not going through quickly, but hopefully things will pick up. Blackadder. Doesn't take much to talk about Blackadder. You got anything, any ideas on Blackadder?
I got no comment on that. That's just a fill space one.
I mean, it's okay. It's on the list, but it's a very balanced show because the first several seasons are pretty dumb, but the last several seasons are pretty interesting, and that's probably the best show for development. It goes from a dumb show to a pretty clever show, more than any other show I've seen. Futurama at 74 seems awesome. Great show. Absolutely Fabulous UK show. Have you seen that?
You know, I never watched that show. I can't say that I have.
Now, that's a good show. You should watch it. And then at 71, we have a little bit of a question. Christopher, do you think kids shows or cartoons should be on the list?
I do. Because okay, up ahead, there's a cartoon I saw and I thought it was appropriate for a sitcom. I can see why you think cartoons might not, because then it opens up a whole genre of like Scooby-Doo. I mean, are we just going to look at all the cartoons? I think if the cartoon looks like a cartoon version of a sitcom, it's okay. I mean, okay. I don't want to see Bugs Bunny on here. Is that, you know what I'm saying?
See, that's because I think Bugs Bunny kind of rides the line. It's not on the list, but I wonder if it should be because it does.
But it's not a sitcom. It didn't come out like every week with.
It rides the line a little bit though, because.
Yeah, I would say rides the line.
Rick and Morty at 71. So that was the first one. The next one's just down from that, 69, is Flight of the Conchords.
That was pretty good. I like that.
A bunch of Kiwis, you know, dumb musicians and cute Kiwis. What, you know, what more do you need? 66, Get Smart, obviously a great great show. Phineas and Ferb at 65. I was a very staunch believer that should be on the list. It's a good show. It's good show for it's good for kids, and the parents can get humor out of it too. It's a little bit like Bugs Bunny in that. It kind of works on both levels. Number 60, Good Times from 74
to 79. Okay, so I've been waiting for you to get there. That should have been higher on the list. It was the first show that I can remember that was a comedy, but you really got to see the whole urban Black America society. You know, I very much remember one episode where they're having a party to raise money because one of the people in the apartment complex can't afford their rent. So they have an apartment party. Everybody comes to the party, they chip in $5, and all of a sudden that person can make the rent. And these are real problems. They joked about it all the time, but it was dealing with some serious subject. And for the 70s, I thought that was kind of fresh.
Okay, well, you've changed my mind on that one. I'll give it a thumbs up. I don't remember the specifics of it. I just remember it being kind of a, not. It didn't do anything for me, but you seem to make a good point. Now, 56 on the list, we're almost halfway through. Murphy Brown?
Well, I liked Murphy Brown.
Did you really?
I mean, yeah, well, I liked Murphy Brown, the actress Candace Bergman.
Bergen?
What is it?
Bergen, I think it was her name. I'd give this a hard no. I tried watching that show on several occasions in its day, 88 to 98. Wow, 10 years. And then I guess they had a special in 2018. I found it to be one of the most unwatchable shows. Though it was amazing to me that they got a piece of wood to actually speak. And that would be the main character. I always saw her as just being completely flat. I guess we have completely different reactions to that actress.
Yeah.
55, The Odd Couple.
I watched The Odd Couple as reruns for years. I thought it was fun. I think it's in the right spot. I think
it's a brilliant show.
It was a good show. It doesn't belong at the top, but it definitely belongs in the middle or toward the top in the middle. I think Rolling Stones did good with that.
54, Bernie Mac Show. Did you ever see that?
I did. I liked it only because I liked the comedian. I don't know if the show was that good, but I watched it for the comedian.
Well, I watched it once, and I was thinking, wow, and it was kind of by accident, and I watched an episode, and I was like, that's really funny, I should watch more of this, and I'm not joking, the next day, he died.
Oh, shoot.
So it was like, wow, okay, I can't watch it now that he's dead. Scrubs, you have any opinion on Scrubs at 53?
It's in the middle. It is where it belongs. It's a huge show. There are a lot of cultural references to it that I think are going to last for a little while. I don't think it's going to last. I think 10 years, this might be lower on the list.
You might be right. I think it started strong, but it petered out at the end. News Radio?
News Radio. I remember watching this as a kid once. I mean, not a kid, but a young man.
As a kid. This is
95. And I remember thinking, next?
So you were not impressed. Yeah, I felt kind of the same way. It seems kind of high on the list. It had a great ensemble cast. The cast was good. It just didn't, I don't think it ever lived up to its potential.
I thought they were kind of trying to do a spinoff from WKRP in Cincinnati.
Well, it was certainly better than that.
Maybe.
You ready for 49?
Yes, I am.
Oh, wow. You know which one we're talking about then.
Barney Miller.
Barney Miller.
I love the Barney Miller Show. I was so glad when I saw it on IMDb a couple months ago. And I made the kids watch it. And I told them, you have to see the character Fish, because I truly believe that there are these guys in the background of our police force, and this is their personality.
So you've seen it recently, because I haven't seen it since it was on, probably since it was aired. And I don't remember much of it, but again, it's the tone. The show had a tone, and I remember the tone, and I remember that character. That's the old guy with the nose that's like 6 feet long.
Right, but the great thing about the show is it showed people of different races all trying to do the same job quite seriously and seeing the humor in that seriousness.
Excellent show.
That's what I liked about it. We had Puerto Ricans, we had blacks, we had Jews, we had a Chinese, we had a white guy, we had the old white guy. I mean, it was just a really great multicultural sitcom. Think maybe it should be a little higher.
Okay, 48 is the Jeffersons.
I watched the show, but I wouldn't put it at 48. I just love the show. I'm starting to see a pattern that I like. It seems like I watched a lot of black American television shows as a kid. It's just starting to occur to me.
47 is the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Love this show as a young person. I looked back at it recently. Don't know why I watched it.
Yeah, that makes sense. I remember watching it and thinking this is, you know, just another example of bad 90s TV. It's so over-polished. It's hard to relate to it.
Yeah.
Ah, 46 is The Good Place. How do you feel about that?
It is where it belongs. I liked it, but it wasn't great.
Yeah, it seems a little high on the list, though, since it didn't really stand out. But are you talking about The Good Place or about The Fresh Prince?
Good Place.
Oh, okay. No, I thought that was a great show. It's one of the best. Veep.
What number is that?
44.
You know, I watched the show, but once again, it was just for the actress. A lot of shows I'll watch for the actress. I mean, it was okay. The first episode was amusing, but after that, I was like, eh.
I think it's brilliant. I think it should be higher. King of the Hill.
Love King of the Hill. Watched it for years. Recently watched an episode just kind of as a remembering the good old days. Good, funny show, especially if you have a relative in the family that's from Texas.
You think it stands up?
I do. Talking cartoons, and it was a sitcom because it was about a family. Looked like a sitcom. It acted like a sitcom.
I mean,
it was a sitcom.
Yeah, it was barely cartoon.
Yeah, barely.
I don't think I really like that. I don't think I like the dad in the show, so I never really got into it. But I can see.
Yeah,
oh yeah,
I
here
can
we
see
go.
That.
Now I'm a little bit triggered. 38. You know what 38 is?
Moving there. Oh, 38. A huge part of my college years.
You actually
because
watched this
if
show?
You didn't watch Friends, you didn't have a girlfriend.
I had a girlfriend all through college. Thank you very much.
And I bet you she watched Friends.
She did not.
Well, you got
her
lucky.
Friends did.
Oh, my God. So when I was a young man, we used to have, because I had a friend that used to get DVDs at a very decent price because of the place he worked at. And so we would have slumber parties with groups of couples, and we would do all-nighters and watch Friends. We did this multiple times to see if we could watch every season. And there's a lot of seasons, as you can tell, 94 to 2004.
Oh, my God.
That's a lot of years to sit. And I would go to these things because my girlfriend liked it, and so therefore I had to like it.
Wow, I would have found a different girlfriend. I think it's one of the dumbest shows on TV. I mean, it was so dumb and so predictable, and half the cast couldn't act their way out of paper bags. Half the cast was great, the other half was terrible.
Well, I think I disagree with you. I think the guy that plays Dummy... Matt LeBlanc.
Oh, I think he's brilliant. I love him, but
he is the only one I disagree with. I've seen him in other situations, and he's a pretty good actor. He doesn't always have to play the dummy.
I think we're on the same page, and I liked him too. He's the only one who he and Joey were the only two I liked.
Yeah, and Joey, I think I've seen him in a couple movies. He's a pretty good actor. I would agree.
Yeah, those. So I said half the cast couldn't half the cast, not all the cast,
but half the cast.
Anyway, this is weird. I think it's worth taking a detour on this one. 36 Sex in the City? That's a sitcom?
Sex in the City?
Yeah.
You've never seen this show?
No, I've seen the show, and I guess I don't think of it as being a sitcom. More of a sexcom.
It is where it belongs, though. It needs to be toward the top, but in the middle. I mean, a lot of women watch it. It deals with women issues, but the one after is the one I love.
Oh, you love that one,
Raymond. Huh? Oh, yeah. I like this show so much. I bought the box sets for the first three seasons.
I think it's way too high on the list because for me, it's a complete eh show. And I say that because it just got tiresome after a while. This is one of the shows where I feel like at some point I was watching an episode and I'm like, okay, I've seen enough of this. And I mean like the entire, I've seen enough of this character, I've seen enough of this writing. And the wife was one that really got on my nerves because she's genuinely whiny, not just in a funny way, but if her whininess just got to me.
Yeah. I really want to look at 34 SpongeBob. That needs to be higher on the list. If we're going to include cartoons, and if this is considered a sitcom, which I barely think it does, but if you do consider it a sitcom, this show is culturally important. There are thousands, if not millions, of references to SpongeBob every single day on the internet. The comedy was silly and wacky and
funny.
If you watch it, it's a subtle relationship between these two silly characters, and they actually have meaningful moments.
Yeah, I think it's a great show. It works on several levels.
So we both agree on SpongeBob.
Yeah, I think it's a solid show. Because thing is, you watch it with your kids and you suddenly realize, wow, they're being funny, and it's kind of, you can watch it as an adult, but then they're actually talking about not like super serious issues, but like work ethic and stuff like that's important for kids to learn.
Yes, absolutely. And it's, I think it's a good show for children to watch because I think it sneaks in some moral codes in there that probably should be followed.
Yeah.
Hey, I got to skip ahead to the next one. 32. This show is so popular again right now. And I'm talking about
Golden Girls.
That's right. And I watched my very first all the way through episode last week. My wife turned it on. She goes, "Do you like this show?" And I'm like, "Well, I know it's real popular again right now in the rerun circuit." So I'll sit, and I sat and watched it, and I thought, okay, that was funny. I'm glad I watched a whole episode because I used to watch it all the time and watch the first 5 to 10 minutes at the house growing up, and then I would leave because at my age bracket in between 85 and 92, watching some old ladies talk about the relationships wasn't it for me. But as an adult revisiting it, I can see why it made 32.
Very unusual show, and I think it's a pretty funny show.
And who doesn't love Betty White? I mean, she, for years, she was the sexiest old lady in the world, right?
Has she been replaced?
She keeps getting older, and she hasn't lost her cuteness, that's for sure. I always loved her in Boston Legal.
I think 31 and 30 are really interesting because they're right next to each other, because it's Fawlty Towers, British show, which is maybe a little overrated, but a brilliant show, but you know, not
brilliant.
Always, not always on cue, followed by number 30, The Office. That's the UK version.
The thing is about the UK version of The Office is the awkwardness that show did in the American version was great, but the awkwardness cannot be reached like it did in the UK version. I mean, it was just, you almost triggered you, almost made you angry that this guy was saying the things that he was saying.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think Michael Scott did the same.
No, he did it in a different way. He did a good job, but the UK version is just a different animal. I mean, it's the same thing, but it's very different. And I like the idea that these two are right back-to-back together because it seems like Fawlty Towers is kind of the same show. It's a dumb boss who's completely out of his element, not really very good at his job, but also thinks he's much smarter than he is. And it's also very, very awkward. There's a lot of awkwardness in Fawlty Towers, and we see that again in The Office. So it's almost like a preamble to The Office. It seems like they're very similar shows.
Yeah, I think John Cleese, though, he knows that he's awkward. I think in the Ricky version of The
Gervais.
Boss, he doesn't know.
Oh, no, 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 no. Cleese is a great actor. And Basil Fawlty, I think is his character's name. He doesn't know he's awkward.
No. Can we go to the next one? I love this show. I have watched the reruns on this show over and over and over again. 29 seems like an appropriate spot for it. But I still love this show. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And I got to say, what is your opinion? You don't like this show.
Are you kidding me? I love this show. This is one of my favorite. I would put this in the top 10.
You and I talked about the show over and over again. I always think it's funny. You don't believe, and I'm going to just, because we've had this conversation before, I'm going to talk on your behalf. You don't believe Danny makes the show better.
I've been rewatching it, and it's. I remember being kind of triggered when he showed up the first time. I don't mind it so much the second time, but I'm just not seeing what he offers. I don't think he's helping the show.
Well, I just love the relationship between him and
Charlie.
Charlie, yeah.
Yeah, that is fantastic.
That relationship I just love because I know it's not real, but at the same time, I know a few people back in the day when I lived in a more rural environment, and I saw this relationship sort of between people.
Oh boy,
and the fact that they
scary.
Make fun of it makes me laugh.
The thing is, it's like if you had two kids that just grew up alone in a house, like feral kids.
Yeah.
This is how they would be in adulthoods. These are like feral kids who became feral adults. They're feral adults. So I guess
So
at least in that, Danny's good at being able to expose that. That's the beauty of the show, though, because it takes these really stupid, stupid ideas, which we all have and we get in trouble with, but makes it real. It's like surreal and real, and they're able to blend the two seamlessly back and forth. That was my feeling on it.
28. Let's talk about 28.
Love 28.
Did you like the show? Do you think
Loved
it belongs
it.
Where it belongs?
Top 10. No, top 10. This is a top 10.
Great actors. I'm always sad that some of these children in the show did not go on to having acting careers, because I thought they were pretty good kid actors. Or maybe they're just not old enough yet, but one of them's a race car driver, Malcolm.
Is he? I had no idea.
Yeah, so I get it. He just decided, he changed profession, which is totally cool. People change professions all the time. I know there's a stigma like, why aren't you still an actor? You used to be famous. Got bored of it, maybe? You know, people change. The other two, they just kind of disappeared, which has made me sad because I thought they were pretty good too.
Yeah, I don't know. But this show is a brilliant show. It's I can't even begin to describe how brilliant it is. So I'm not going to.
Okay.
27?
I mean, I love this comic, and I thought this was a funny show because I thought it accurately showed the comedian's world, which is generally depressing.
it had a real dose of reality in it while being funny. And I'm a little surprised they added it to the list because, as we know, Louis C.K., we're talking about Louis, which was on FX from 2010 to 2015, and Louis C.K. got canceled because he masturbated. So don't masturbate.
Well, him and Pee Wee Herman are not allowed to masturbate. And so Pee Wee Herman never made this list.
I hadn't thought of that. Well, I don't know that he really did any sitcoms, though.
Well, it was a Pee Wee show. I guess that doesn't count as a sitcom. I guess that was more of a talent show.
Sketch
like
comedy.
The Muppets.
Sketch.
All right.
Comedy.
I think we have so much to cover. We need to continue on, but let us finish
a long time.
On 26.
I didn't remember the Bob Newhart show, so I didn't have anything to say about it. Enlighten me.
I watch the Bob Newhart show every time I find out there's a rerun on and I happen to be watching TV. I watched the Bob Newhart show. It's super clever. I feel like it's the first time that they really made a show about a psychologist. I mean, it really is. And let's just face it, Bob Newhart's humor is so dry, it can appeal to any audience. And he mixes it up a little bit, too, with the subtle jokes that you might not catch unless you watch the show twice. So I think the Bob Newhart show will fade over time farther down the list.
Maybe.
But
I don't
for
know,
right now, I think 26 is the perfect spot. It's a great show. And I must point out, 70s.
Yeah. Let's see. That was from, where are we?
72 to 78.
Yeah. Well, the early 70s are still a pretty good period. It's the middle to late 70s where it seems to me things started falling off. I just have to disagree with you on one point, that it's not necessarily as broad-based appeal as you think, because I know a lot of people who don't get dry humor. I love it. I think it's amazing. And I really respond to it for that. Yeah, we'll take a break, and we're going to probably pick this up next week, or unless you guys want to just keep listening. I don't know.
The next show I really didn't like, and so let's talk about it next week. James, I am excited to finish this list.
Let's get through it at some point. God, this has been a long episode. All right,
we'll talk to you soon, James. Bye.
Okay, bye.
PopSub Podcast has been brought to you by Marcus in Motion. For more information, go to popsubpodcast.com. To contact PopSub Podcast, go to info@popsubpodcast. Thank you.
Life getting you down? Is your head always drooping towards the floor? And then seeing your horrible floor just makes you feel that much worse? What to do? Don't change you. That's too much work. Change your floor instead. GoRageous Flooring has happy, sunny, exciting, rejuvenating flooring. They make flooring fun again. Woohoo! GoRageous Flooring. For when you just can't bear to look at your old, horrible floor anymore. You'll be so happy, you won't ever look at your floor again. Whoopee. That's GoRageousFlooring.com. GoRageousFlooring, GoRageousFlooring.com.